I'm going to go through a lot of scripture this morning. I'm setting the stage today. But I believe that if we're going to study something, if we're going to look at something, it's important for us to understand the theological background behind what we're doing. Amen? We got to know what the Word says. We have to know Scripture. Guys, I want to tell you guys something. Learning the Bible is not just something for our kids to do over in Sunday school. You need to know what the Word says, because what you don't know can hurt you. There's a lot of people that don't understand what's actually written in this book that could actually be helping them to win every battle that they step into if they just knew what it said. Amen? If they just understood our position. So I'm gonna go through a lot of scripture this morning. Are you guys ready? Okay. Sound guys, computer guys, are you ready? Those poor boys, man, I bet when they saw the scripture list this morning, they about passed out. Don't worry, it's good. We need more of the Bible talking and less of me sometimes. So let's go. You guys ready? You guys got your track shoes on? All right. See, that's what I like. Enthusiasm. Revelation 2:7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Revelation 2:11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Somebody get excited. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Revelation 2:17. To the churches, to him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Revelation 2:26. And he who overcomes. You guys catching my theme today? And keeps my works until the end. To him, I will give power over the nations. Revelation 3:5. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. And I will not blot out his name from the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 3:12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of my the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. Revelation 3:21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Amen. Jesus has called his church, you and I, to be overcomers. Amen. See, in many cases, it seems like we're the ones being overcome. In many cases, it seems like we're the ones being overwhelmed. Well, I'm here to tell you today, that's a lie from the pit of hell. If not more than two people get excited this morning, I promise you I won't be mad if y'all get excited, okay? We're talking about victory. Quit sitting there like you lost. Amen? He's called us and he's graced us to overcome, not to be overcome. And that is who you are. You are an overcomer whether you are walking in it or not. That's who you are. You cannot change who you are. If you are a believer in Christ, if you have said yes to Jesus, that is who you are, whether you know it or not. You're an overcomer. Now, you can choose not to overcome. That's your choice. How many of you know? Why lose when you can win? Come on. Why choose death when you can live? Why choose loss when you can prosper? Why choose less when there's more? Guys, you see what I'm saying? Whether you know it or not, this is who you are. And I want to encourage you this morning to do that. What is it that we are called to overcome? Well, first, we're called to overcome the world. 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17. Do you guys have that scripture up there? Yep. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Keep going. For all that it is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. We're called to overcome the world. Amen? What else are we supposed to overcome? The flesh. Say the flesh. By the way, that's going to be your everyday battle. Every day. So you need to be determined every day to wake up and say, I'm going to beat the flesh today. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. Do you guys have that for me? But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. The flesh. You can't give your flesh a vote in your decisions. You have to tell it no. Amen? Guys, I want to tell you something. Your flesh doesn't get a say. Your spirit leads. The flesh follows. Amen? What else are we called to overcome? Well, praise God, the devil. Oh, good. Jillian's excited about overcoming the devil. Anybody else excited that you get to overcome the devil? He loses. Quit being so afraid of him. He's a perpetual loser. Your destiny is victory. His is destruction. Guys, he already lost. You cannot lose as bad as he lost. It's amazing we regard him at all, given how complete and total Jesus' victory was over him. Amen? I mean, guys, come on. The Bible even tells us Jesus, when he descended into the grave, he went into hell for 3 days and tore him apart. He kicked in the doors. He took the keys away from him. And it says that the Bible tells us that he put the enemy on display in front of his own kingdom and made a spectacle. The exact word, he made a spectacle of him. Y'all, it is not a good thing to be made a spectacle of. And that's what he did. We have victory over the devil. James 4:6 says this. But he who gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Amen? We're supposed to overcome the enemy. See, what the devil wants to do, he feeds on our flesh. He feeds on our fleshly decisions, our fleshly emotions. When we're led by the flesh, he feeds on it. Maybe you know, he helps make a bad situation worse. Yeah. And so until we realize where we stand, it's not going to make a difference. Guys, do you have Genesis 3:19? Do you have that scripture right there? I want to read you just a couple scriptures here real quick. I want to show you something about positioning. Genesis 3:19, God is speaking to man, okay? In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Right? But I want to show you when he's speaking to Satan what he says in Genesis 3:14. Real quick, you guys got that? So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle. Keep going. And more than every beast of the field, on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. Until we rule over a bad attitude and our critical spirits, it will be difficult to have victory over the enemy. He's always going to be trying to eat up your flesh. Amen? We have to realize, though, that God put him on his belly for a reason, to put him under our heel. Amen? You guys okay this morning? Amen. The weapons or means available to us for overcoming is found in Revelation 12:11. You guys know this verse? And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Somebody says, thank God for the blood of Jesus. Amen? The word of their testimony. Amen? And they did not love their lives unto death. When I read that phrase, I read fearlessness. Amen? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. We just spent all morning singing about the blood of Jesus. The word of their testimony. That means there is power in what you say. You have the ability to speak the chains free. Amen? As a man, you know, listen, you're going to speak what you think. And it's time for us to start talking like winners. It's time for us to start speaking victory. Amen? by the blood, by the word of our, listen, the word of your testimony is more than you just, you know, how many of you grew up kind of in old school church where it was testimony on Sunday night? They passed the microphone around and everybody got a chance to talk, and praise God, it was awesome to listen to everybody, but you were still sitting there at 10:30 at night and Sister Ethel's testimony was still going. Testimony is so much more than, testimony is just always talking about what God has done for you. That's it. And if we begin to learn the language of victory and how we speak, listen, I'm not talking about name it, claim it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about talking God up and talking the devil down. Amen? And not living their life unto death, that there was a fearlessness that God, through the blood of Jesus, has put into us, a boldness that has been put into us. Come on. That we're supposed to do incredible things in our life. For the next 4 weeks, I want to teach a little bit about the theological basis for entering into this type of faith, this conquering faith for us to be overcomers. Amen? And this is what you need to know so that you can live a life of an overcomer. Instead of living like you're being overcome, instead of living like you're being overwhelmed and constantly being overtaken, this is the theology necessary for you to change places to become from being a victim to a victor. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, what you don't know can hurt you. So many people not understanding what this scripture says, and they're walking around as victims when they've been given the DNA of victory. And so the devil takes advantage of what you don't know. He'll steal from you because you don't know any better. He'll take from you because you don't know any better. Amen? He'll deceive you because you don't know any better. And it's time for us to start knowing better and allowing God to do better. Amen? Romans is a tremendous book that we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. Chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8 are the theological basis for us becoming overcomers. These chapters are the heart of the book of Romans, and they hold the key to every believer entering into a life of victory. Amen? And at the end of Romans, chapter 8, verse 37 says this, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." How many of you feel like you woke up today and kind of first thing you said was, "I'm more than a conqueror today"? Or maybe you woke up today and you feel like, "Boy, I sure want to keep laying here because I'm feeling pretty beat." You know, guys, it's not a good sign if in the first thing in the morning we get up and we just go, "I'm beat." Anybody guilty of saying that? I do all the time. Man, it's like you live in this world of being perpetually tired. And you wake up and you're like, "I'm beat." We got to quit saying that. We got to quit saying that. It's almost like you're proclaiming something right from the very beginning of the day, that today's going to go bad because I just can't today. No, yes, you can. And you must in Jesus' name. Amen? We're made of sterner stuff than that. See, this verse, that sounds like overcoming to me. In fact, it's the goal of all that Paul lays out before Romans, starting in chapter 5 through chapter 8. The goal of all those chapters is to say, yet in all of this, we are more than conquerors. So let's talk about the first stage today. I need to move quickly to cover this morning. Romans chapter 5 is where we're going to start today. And I just want you to write this down if you're taking notes, that the first point is this: you got to be justified by faith. Understand that you are justified by faith. Romans 5, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God." Say peace with God. Good news, you're not at war with God anymore. You're at peace. "Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." That's a powerful scripture. Let's look at verses, Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let me paraphrase from that real quick before we look at verse 9. That means this. Not many people would die for you. Let alone would some, maybe somebody might give their life for a very good man or a very good person or a very good cause. But Christ died for us while you were still a mess. Actually, the translation should read this according to the Greek, while you were still his enemy, he died for you. How many of you would give your life for an enemy? This is not the time to raise hands, by the way. It's a rhetorical question. You might say you might give your life for the one that you love dearly. I believe every father and mother in this room, every grandparent in this room would gladly give their life for their children and the ones they love. Without hesitation, right? But would you do that for an enemy? Yet that's what Christ did. Amen? Verse 9. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, because he died for us, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. What does that mean? Let me paraphrase. He died for you while you were his enemy. How much more will he do for you now that you're his child? If he was willing to die while you hated him, how much more is he willing to do now that we've been brought into his family? Does that settle with you well? Isn't that awesome? That's powerful stuff, guys. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Do we have that scripture up there? It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Each one of us is spirit, soul, and body. And at the new birth, how many of you know when you get saved, when I say new birth, I mean when you get saved, only your spirit is born again. Only your spirit is transformed in that moment. That is the part of us where old things passed away and all things become new. You receive a new nature in your spirit, man, at the new birth, but you don't receive it in your soul, in your mind, will, and emotions. See, that has to be renewed. That has to go through a process of discipleship. Guys, that's why we go to church. That's why we go to small group. That's why we come to discipleship groups. That's why we go to women's and men's and meetings and all of that, because we're being discipled. This is about us changing our mind, will, and emotions to come in line with the Word of God. Your spirit is already saved. It's fixed. It's seated in heaven. Praise God for that. But now you have to unlearn some things and relearn some new things. And one of those things being that you're a victor. Amen? See, it's our spirit man who's been justified when we received Christ and we were born again. And Jesus' righteousness has been given to us at the new birth, the same way Adam's sin nature was put on us at our original physical birth. You didn't work for either nature. You were born into it. Can I say that again? How many of you know you were born into sin? You didn't work for that nature, did you? You just showed up and there it was. You were birthed into it. But when you say yes to Jesus, we undergo a new birth. And guess what? You didn't earn your salvation either. You were born into it. Quit thinking you got to earn something you were born into. I think I need to say that again. Some of you are still walking around thinking you have to earn something that you were born into. Come on. Listen, my sons didn't have to earn their position in my family. They were born into it. Y'all can pray for them. No, I'm serious. Pray for them. Because, and I'm half joking, but not joking. Man, PKs have it rough sometimes. So if you want to bless me, bless my kids. And my kids say amen. But you were born into your sin nature. And when Jesus saved you, you were born in to your new nature, into your new family. You were born with victory in your DNA. It's not about what you've done. It's about who you belong to now. Isn't that good? Man, my whole purpose today is to take the pressure off. You don't have to be perfect. God's perfect. You just be His. Amen? You didn't work for either nature. You were born into it. At new birth, our spirit man has been made righteous. And we're not only forgiven, but we were justified, which means we were made right with God. And in God's mind, it's as if I had never sinned in the first place. Let me ask you a question. How many of you like the idea that every wrong you've ever done, every hurt you've ever created, every wound you've ever inflicted, every disobedient moment is no longer remembered by God? I'm glad two people got excited about that, because you guys must be living a life that's way beyond anything that I've ever touched. I didn't realize I was sitting in a room full of saints. Better back up. Jesus is about to take you all into heaven. You don't even have to die. He's going to raise you up. Everything, every bad attitude, every thought, every hurt, every wound, every willful moment of disobedience and defiance is remembered no more. And until you understand this fact, you will never live an overcoming life. Rather, you will stay overcome, living in guilt, living in shame, and living in disrepair. So many people are Christians, are walking through the earth, walking today, walking around, acting like they've got to make atonement to God somehow. And you're never getting beyond your guilt of what you've done, and you're never getting beyond the shame of what's happened in your life. And I'm here to tell you, if you keep living there, first and foremost, that is not God's design. God is not putting guilt and shame on you. That comes from the enemy. So if you're dealing with guilt and shame, it's time to break that today and move on. By the way, you can't fix it anyway. There's nothing you can do to fix it, so why worry about it? You can't change what's already happened. But praise God, He's future forward. And if He's chosen to forget it, what right do you have to hold on to it? All it's doing is keeping you in a position of guilt and shame and fear. When God's saying, I need you to become victorious in Jesus' name. Amen? Move to a place of victory. And you can't do that if you're constantly beating yourself up over the mistakes of the past. Now listen, I get it. I understand it. Hear me. I'm not trying to dismiss what's been done. All of us have damage. Right? Your damage may look different than my damage, but we all have damage. Because that's really what sin is. Sin is damage. Right? That's why God doesn't want us to sin, because He knows it creates damage. And brokenness. He doesn't want us living in damaged, broken lives. Amen? But all of us have damage somehow. But when we say yes to Jesus, we forfeit our right to live in that damage. And we get to move on. Quit beating yourself up over something you can't fix anyway and that God's already forgiven you for. It's holding you back. It's time to overcome that and move to the position of victory. Amen. You guys okay? You know, Jeremiah 31:34 says, "For I will forgive their iniquity and their sins will I remember no more." Amen. You know, have you guys ever done something? Like maybe you've said something that you instantly regret? Boy, I love the honesty in this room right now. Praise God for that. You know what's great about that is that authenticity means you're not alone. Right? You know, I remember, you know, one time I was a young man and I said something. It was in a church setting and I said something. I won't tell you what I said because it was very critical and it was very mean. Big shock. I know you're surprised, right? But I had to be corrected by the pastor. And I remember just feeling so ashamed and so guilty and so, you know, like I just beat myself up. Like, you know, like I was useless and I couldn't do this and I couldn't do that. And I just remember feeling so bad about myself. And it took me like for months and months and months, I would barely open my mouth. Big shock, bigger shock, I know. Because I just felt so guilty. But what it did was it silenced my voice, which could contribute. And it wasn't until that very same pastor said, quit living when dealing with that shame and that guilt. And now move to a place of freedom. That's in the past. It doesn't matter anymore. You're free. And that's what God is saying to you today. It's in the past. Quit living in that place that's keeping you in bondage and keeping you from winning because you can't let go of that moment that I've already forgotten about. Isn't that awesome? You get to move into a new position today. I remember one time in my life where I'd made a mistake. And I just kept crying out to God, God, please forgive me. God, please forgive me. God, please forgive me. And finally, the Holy Spirit said, for what? You keep asking me to forgive you for something, but I don't see it anymore. So quit asking. Isn't it great when God tells you to quit asking? He wants you to ask him for everything daily, but he doesn't want you to keep asking him for that. Ask one time, move on. Because God is willing to forgive. If we're willing to walk in repentance, he's willing to forgive. Amen? And God will do something new in us. Are you okay this morning? Listen, we're not only forgiven by his blood, we're justified. Our sin and our guilt was applied to Jesus on the cross. So his innocence can now be applied to my life, can be applied to my account today. It's kind of like this. And worship team, would you come? I'm going to close in just a moment here. I want to give these guys time to prepare. I'm gonna pick on Bill today. Can I pick on you, Bill? Yeah. Let's say Bill, I'm gonna give you an example, got behind in his mortgage. Maybe some things happened financially, maybe, you know, he had a little bit of a bad run, which can happen to all of us. Amen. And he got a little bit behind on his mortgage payment. And so David went ahead and had some mercy on him and made a couple payments for him. And then all of a sudden, Bill, you know, he says to him, oh, David, thank you so much. I promise I'm going to pay you back. I'm going to pay you back everything I owe. But as each month goes by, Bill hadn't been able to save enough to give the amount that he was supposed to pay David back with. And he was ashamed to say to him that he's only been able to put $5 or $10 away a week for it. And maybe he owed David $1,000, but he was ashamed to say he only had 200. And he didn't even want to see him. Every time David showed up, Bill would duck his head and try to get out of the room because he was too embarrassed that he couldn't afford to pay him back. So finally, Bill just stops coming to church. Quit showing up because he just feels so guilty. He felt ashamed, and he felt like the only way that he could survive is just to avoid. See, that is what the debt of sin will do to us in our relationship with God and in the church if we don't receive his justification and his cleansing. See, what Bill didn't know all along What Bill didn't understand is that Kenny had already gone to Dave and paid him back. That Kenny had already come over and covered his debt. Amen? See, that's the way it is whenever we don't realize that Jesus has credited his innocence to our account. We no longer have to feel guilt or shame for the sins that we commit and confess. And when you confessed your sins, when you confessed your sins is not when God found out about it, by the way. We often think that it's like God's going to be up there and God, I made a mistake. What? Like he's up there going, I did not see this coming. You're hiding from God like he doesn't know. He knows. And he loves you anyway. Isn't that awesome? So when you confess is not when he finds out, by the way. But when you confess to him is when you get cleansed from it and the guilt is removed. So don't be afraid to tell God what he already knows you've been doing anyway. The only person you're fooling in that scenario is you. Have you ever been in a situation, maybe when you were little, maybe you stole a piece of candy from the store? I like how somebody said yes. They admitted to that right away. Has anybody done that, by the way? Yeah. And then your parents find out about it. Please don't point at your neighbor right now. And then what do? They march you back. You know, first and foremost, your mother finds out and you go to your room and she says something along the lines, wait till your father gets home. That's always a bad line to hear as a kid. But then you go and they march you back to the store and they make you give the candy back if you haven't eaten it or pay it back. Remember that moment you just feel so like the whole world is crushing in on you? And then you go home and you feel guilty the whole way home. And you're told you're forgiven. But it doesn't feel like you're truly forgiven until mom or dad pick you up and they put their arms around you and they hug you and they say, I love you. I'm trying to draw you to a certain moment in time and a certain emotion and a certain picture for a purpose. It's the embrace of the Father that lets you know everything's going to be okay. That we can move on from this. And if your parents were good parents, then they move on and they speak of it no more. I remember my dad said to me one time, and I've actually stuck with me so much, I've said this to my guys. We're going to talk about it this one time. We're gonna confront what happened this one time. And we're going to deal with it once. And then we're going to move on from here, and it's going to be as if it never happened. What a powerful statement, huh? It was basically, it's the heart of a father saying to the child, I'm willing to move on if you are. I'm willing to move forward if you are. But we have to deal with it. We have to have that moment where we say, yeah, what I did was wrong. But then we have to have the next moment. And this is the one where we fail to get to. oftentimes. Now we get to move on and deal as if it never happened. We're not going to live in this guilt. We're not going to live in this self-pity. We're not going to live in this emotionally bankrupt state. We're going to move on because we got things to do. We've got battles to win. We've got victories, victory parties to attend. Amen? We got stuff to get to. And so when we come before a loving Father who wants to cleanse us and heal us and justify us and bring us into His grace and His mercy, what He's going to say to us is like, look, we're going to deal with this one time, but we're not going to talk about it anymore after this, because I'm going to forget it ever happened. That should give us courage. And my friends, that is step number one in being an overcomer. There's nothing you can do about the past, but there is so much we can do about the future. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. We sang Better Word this morning, and we're going to go out singing Better Word again, but there's two